How we doing, everyone? Welcome to the Mass General Podcast. I'm your co-host, Matty Lynch, and I'm with my...
Matty Cuomo.
Here we go, huh? This is our first Mass General Podcast. You were a veteran. What part are you in?
Army, brother. What?
I was Air Force. That's all right. I love when people make fun of the Air Force like that. No, but hey, we were the smart ones. We got what?
The best food.
Oh, by far.
Hey, whatever. I went to an Air Force base, I grubbed out, man. The best food and the best accommodations for living. Air Force.
Got that right. So we're starting this podcast, right? We're two Mass guys. You know, we love our country. We love our state. You know, love our towns, love our communities. We're looking to get involved. What are you doing right now?
Right now, you know, I'm trying to unseat Ayanna Pressley. That's what I want to do. I want to unseat a beast.
We need that. We need that.
She hates America. You know, she's not from our state. She's not from Massachusetts. She has no connections, no roots to Massachusetts. She's an implant, you know, who's just ruining, you know, our way of life here in Massachusetts, you know?
And when we try to say something bad about her, like, they have the media all up their sleeves, right? They'd be like, we're the bad guys. Where they were crying today, they were like, oh, with the who's the counselor in there that got caught? You know, I think doing something wrong, and they were like,
Monica King Granite.
Yeah, Monica King Granite. She wasn't a counselor, but she
was a rep. Did she win a rep one time? She worked with Tito Jackson, remember? But they didn't keep that.
Arroyo, yeah, it was Arroyo. Yeah. He was the guy.
She worked with Tito and all those.
Nice. So hey, this is our first podcast, right? We're new at this. We know we have to try. Let's start today. This is our first podcast. Did you hear? I made some waves over the weekend.
Yeah, bro. What's up? Would you piss off the gay community? What'd you do?
It's not the gay community, all right? The gay community has nothing to do with what I'm going on. I have no problem with gay Americans. None at all. Like, even people that identify as trans, I have zero problem with them. It's the progressive left that I have a problem with, right?
Explain that.
So here's the thing. Yeah. So on my Twitter this weekend, I posted something on Leah Thomas winning.
The swimmer?
The swimmer, right?
The
swimmer, we would say. Yeah. So I post that, and I put on Solzhenitsyn's quote there, right? We know they're lying. They know we're lying. They know that we know they're lying, yet they still continue to lie type stuff. So this person comes in and starts kind of chirping at me, and, you know, obviously I'm going to chirp back, right? It's kind of what we do here. And all of a sudden it blew up. This kid, you know, he went on Facebook and put it on the Braintree Everything post. Fine. You get that up there on the screen? So if you look at this, this guy put it in here. And this post this weekend got like over 500 comments. Like,
nice.
Like the hottest post.
Nice.
Let me read it for the people out there that can't see, right? Yeah. So I'll read it in his voice. So I don't know this guy. Never met him. But I just feel like his voice would sound like this. So can we address Matty Lynch making transphobic comments on Twitter last night in general? I really feel he needs to be removed from his position after the horrible things he's done. Our town schools should not be represented by someone making transphobic comments and then laugh about offending LGBT trans community. In the past few months, he's made it clear he does not care about the school system and using the position to push his own political beliefs agenda.
Beta.
I don't know. Doesn't he sound like a mouse?
A beta.
Like, you should see this guy's, like, profile. Like, on his Twitter thing, it's like him jumping on boxes. He literally jumps a box. Sounds like a mouse. But with that said, like, what's transphobic about just, hey, making an observation? Leah Thomas, 4 years ago, was a man. Right? That might be offensive all, but he was a man.
Yeah.
And he beat females in a sport.
In their sport. It should be a universal sport for, like, everybody, you know?
Yeah, like all that stuff.
But men's sports and women's sports should be different, you know? Because I have a daughter. I have two daughters, and they play sports. And, you know, I don't want them to work really hard to just be taken out by a guy, by a boy, you know? That's just crazy.
It makes perfect sense.
My daughters, yeah, they have my genes. They're going to be superhuman, strong, you know? They're my kid, you know?
But still, Donnie the boxer.
Right. But still, my kid, my girls aren't going to be able to take on ever defeat a guy.
Of course,
you know?
Not. Like, look, if I was playing sports like today, like when I was younger, like I would have won a college championship. It would have been a woman's, but like I would have went in there and just dominated.
Right.
They could just say, I'm identifying a guy. Now, again, people get mad when you say that. Like, yeah, we're joking. Like, I get. Like, there's a trans community and there's stuff going on there that, hey, I'm not saying I know all that stuff. But my problem is they're making us believe, like, something that's not true. Uh-huh. It's almost like an alternate reality where you get down to that Orwell stuff. Like, you know, don't believe what...
You could be born a man and just tell yourself you're a girl and you are a girl. You can just wish it.
Right? And like, you so
wish it be now.
What I watched, it was, hey, don't believe your eyes and ears. It was the party's like final most essential command. Like, again, I don't follow women swimming. Like, do you?
No.
No. But so that's on there. And I saw a man beat these females. They're so much better. They're a better athlete, right? We've known that. That's just kind of an objective truth.
Genetics. Science.
And it's science. Like, aren't we supposed to trust the science over the past couple of years?
Isn't that what they tell us?
And that's what I thought we got of it. But people get so offensive. And now the 500 comments were on this. So that means people want to talk about this issue. Now, they get mad at someone like me, and they'll call me transphobe, homophobe, just because I kind of acknowledge that truth. But as I said,
they just want to shut you up, so they just want to.
And that's where,
because they feel uncomfortable about talking about it, and they want to shut you up because they want to follow the.
It's because they can't go back onto the ideas. Like, we see this. This is an unfair advantage.
They can't communicate.
No, they absolutely can't communicate with. Hey, you're wrong. They just call you. Oh, you're mean. They try to cancel you. I actually had this woman, she emailed the school committee thing saying, like, I demand an apology from me. Like, she came on my Twitter account.
Apology?
She came on my Twitter account chirping. And apology. Then, like, oh, he said all these bad things. And they're like, they think, like, oh, yeah, you're a school committee member. You have to act this way. It's like, so I have to pretend in this alternate reality?
No.
That's the biggest problem where I have. But that's not the biggest issue, right? So like, if you look at that Facebook thing, like this 500, as I said, 500 comments on it, you should only be looking at that for entertainment. If you're reading that, like, for like, hey, you're trying to gain something out of it, then you're probably not on the level that you need to be at yet. Mm-hmm. But it brings entertainment, and I'm fine. Anyone can say what they want about me. It's freedom of speech. I have my freedom of speech. You can say all that stuff. But there's a serious issue there, which we're not allowed to talk about. Because when you bring it up, you immediately get called transphobe, homophobe, mm-hmm. and you can't get to, like, the issues. And one issue that I've had, and this kind of shook me, this was my own kind of personal experience, was this gender ideology, or the gender religion, as I call it, they got so mad at that, is fine. Freedom, First Amendment, freedom of religion. Anyone can, you know, do what they want in the country. And I truly believe, man, if you turn 18 and you think choppy, choppy, yo, pee-pee, Valvina style is what you want to do, go for it. Right? Did you watch WWF back in the day?
Remember Valvina? I did WWF, yes.
Man, those writers in the 90s, there was nothing better than that.
Right.
But I truly don't, it doesn't matter. Like, it's a free country. You can do it.
Just love this country when you do it, after you do it. That's it. Just love the country that you're able to chop your pee-pee off, right? and not be hated for it in this country. You know, you can't do that in other countries.
No,
they'll throw you off. Listen.
They'll throw
you off a building.
In Iran, they do that.
They'll throw you off a building.
No. And that's the biggest part, is where, to me, like, it's almost this, like, this hidden element underneath, like, the LGBTQ umbrella, that it's just a radical left-wing activist that pushed their agenda that has nothing to do with being gay. Like, nobody cares if you're gay anymore in 2022. Like, I get it. In the 20th century, man, you guys had problems. Like, you're fighting for rights. That's cool. But that's not where the conversation has gone anymore. We're like, I mean, the Republican Party, we're supposed to be like, oh, anti-gay, anti-gay.
No, we're not.
Trump brought gays to the Republican Party.
Right.
You have the, like, the outspoken crowd. You have the log cabin with the walkaway with Brandon Strzok. Mm-hmm. Like, Trump brought that in there. He's supposed to be this all big homophobe, same stuff like he is a homophobe. Right. Like, he brought, you know, gay Americans into the Republican Party. So, like, the left still always says, oh, Republicans, they hate gays. It has nothing to do with that. It has to come down to this gender theory that, hey, you can, you know, maybe this gender dysphoria is real. I believe in that. But I think there's something more at play here, Donnie.
They want to expose this shit to our kids, you know, and that's what it is, I feel.
And
I feel you should keep that away from K through 12. That should be. You know.
So to me, I would say K through puberty. I like what DeSantis is building there. We'll get to that. But the reason why this is such, like, a personal, like, kind of subject to me, again, when I kind of put stuff out there and I get into beefs out there and people come at me, like, it's strategic, right? There's issues that I want to get raised so people can start talking about it, because people want to hear this stuff. Like, we have to talk about it. And that's what it comes down to. It's, again, should you be teaching this to kids, and at what age? It's a theory. You know, kids that are going through puberty and you're teaching them these weird ideas, like, it's not like we're against what you're saying. It's just like, are these kids ready to hear it? And this is where it comes into me, where I have a personal story from this. Like, and I haven't spoken publicly ever about this. It's something that, like, again, it shook me. I said that earlier. So I was a part of this, you know, of seeing this happen. I had a former student, and this student was a good kid, you know, tried hard, all this stuff, but she wasn't up to speed but grade level with reading and writing. Her communication skills, she really couldn't communicate with her fellow classmates or any of that stuff. She didn't have any friends, like all these things, like a kid that's vulnerable and is just sitting there and is looking and starved for attention. And obviously, I mean, I was this girl's favorite teacher, but she would always be in room and she couldn't really hang out with the kids. But one day she goes to the GSA club. You know what the GSA is?
Gay sex.
So it used to be the Gay Straight Alliance. It used to be the Gay Straight Alliance when I was there, but now it's becoming like the Gender Sexuality Alliance or Gender Sexuality something. Yeah. And they're teaching these kids at young age. And again, nothing to do with gay. They hide under that banner. Mm-hmm. So this kid goes, right, the first time, like, she's getting, like, you know, attention and like people are listening to her and like, wow, she loves this club. Like, this is awesome. And like, that's great. Like, you want kids to have joy. You want them to find themselves, all that stuff. But a few weeks later, and this is the part that got me, all of a sudden we get an email. This kid now is gonna change her name and change her gender. I'm like, what?
Huh? How old is the kid again?
Like, so it's younger, so I'm not gonna get into details like that, but it's young enough where it shouldn't be happening. Going through puberty.
Okay.
And this kid, all of a sudden, this kid can't think for themselves at this time, right? How do you know that? You're going through puberty. I hate how adults forget, like, what it was like to go through puberty. Those are some, like, weird times, aren't they?
Right, right.
You're growing up, you got all this type of stuff, and they're putting on this. So 2 weeks, she's going to change her name and gender. And I'm like, this girl has no idea what's going on with that. So we kind of, me and there was one other teacher who actually spoke up and kind of said something. So this was the part that floored me. We said, like, hey, no, we need to talk about this more before we do this. We can't just keep doing this. Like, what is the, you know, the parents say, all that stuff. And we got literature. And Justin, I think we have it. If you want to move it on to maybe the next slide there, or one more after that. One more. No, that might be it. So they sent us actual literature from the Department of Education. You know, I can put this out there. These are receipts. These actually really happen. And this is from the Department of Education. Some transgender and gender nonconforming students are not openly so at home for reasons such as safety concerns or lack of acceptance. School personnel should speak with the student first before discussing a student's gender nonconformity or transgender status with the student's parents or guardian. You got two daughters. What would you do if you knew there were teachers trying to change your daughter's names in a school without your permission?
Well, I'm going to yank them out of school, and I'm trying to get a lawyer and find someone take my retainer and sue these people.
Like, that's so wrong.
But how do they get the power to change my kid's
because
name?
It's the Department of Education is saying this is happening.
How could they? Who gives them power of attorney to change
the
my kid's name?
The Department of Education. They said state literature. That's our fault.
When did we sign that? As parents, when did we sign that over? Did we sign that over? We sign our rights over with one of those pamphlets that give our kids to send home for us to sign. You know, like
I think it's lunch card,
and you sign something.
I think we stopped paying attention. Like, we really did stop paying attention. I think so. And they wrote this policy in there, and I was like, what? So look, obviously, I was like, no, I can't do this. All this stuff, like, what's going on? Talk to all this, but you know, the school followed protocol. Like, it said to do this. Like, they followed the problem. They did what their job was supposed to do it. And we end up, like, most of the teachers, you know, I didn't. And one other teacher, I kept all the name. And obviously the kid was like, yeah, that's fine. Like, they didn't know any better. But they have followed through because, dude, you worked in education. I worked in education. Teachers' administrations aren't swimming in any money or anything. They don't have money. They need their job. And now are they going to make their final stand to be able to private their family to be like, hey, this is ethically wrong, but if I do, you're going to be called a transphobe. You're going to be called a homophobe. They're going to be 500 comments on you up at Facebook. Like, why would you can't, you would risk that. Like, the First Amendment is dead in the public schools. Teachers don't have a First Amendment. Like, they have it the worst.
Teachers that are pushing this should be yanked out.
Oh, 100%. They're groomers. And this is the biggest problem. And this is why it's grooming and where I saw it. So this kid that I had loved the RuPaul Drag Race stuff. Do you ever see that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I think the same thing. So I had to actually watch a few of those as well because the student loved it, right? It brought her so much joy and it was, you know, at that age, she loved getting dressed up, like loved painting her face. Like it was a big thing for her. And now, unlike, you know, the people that come after me and stuff like that who are just horrible human beings, like I helped my kids. I was always there for them and they knew they were safe. Like this student spent more time in my classroom than any other student, than any other classroom in, you know, the building because she knew she was safe there. And I told her, I was like, if you do your work, like you can tell me all about this RuPaul Drag Race and stuff. And I would know the characters or whatever they said, because it brought her so much joy to talk about this. Mm-hmm. So like, why would you take that from a kid? Like, I'm not here to take a kid. I'm not here judging if people want to watch RuPaul Drag Race. It's America, right? It's a free country. Mm-hmm. But if that's a kid who, you know, likes RuPaul Drag Racing, that's fine. But how do you get to... kid likes to, you know, dress up, play makeup, RuPaul Drag Racing, to changing name, gender without telling the parents. That's my problem. That's fucked up.
Right.
Sorry for swearing on that. Like, no, that one got me so mad. Like, how did you do it? That's grooming. That's happened. It happened to me in there. It's happening in schools all over the country. And it's not the school's fault. Like, any of my supporters who are listening to this, like, don't go run into the schools being like, all this stuff. No, we did it. Like, you need to start reading of what's going on. This is the society we want. I don't want this society. I don't know. Maybe people do. I know people in Brookline probably want it. Just kidding, Brookline. Yeah, just kidding, Brookline. I love playing Brookline in basketball back in the day. Right. They're crazy.
That's back.
Crazy left. But you get what I'm saying on that, right? This kid just liked these things, and that was used against her to change her gender, her name, and we hid it from her parents. Like, so people that like come after me and say, like, you're a transphobe, you're a homophobe, like, you don't know me, guys. Like, you don't know, you don't know anything. You're sitting behind a computer. You don't see what's happening.
You're a patriot. You want to protect the babies.
I want to protect the future of this country.
Yes, our babies.
Right?
Our
like, babies. Again, this kid loved me more than anything. I would sit there and I would smile. She just wanted attention. She loved talking about it. It brought her joy.
Cool.
It did. Cool. But how the hell does it switch from that
to being her life
to changing gender, changing your name, and hiding kind of thing? Like, that to me is like, we can't have that. No. That just, it's unethical. And it was, you know, a few years ago when it happened, that was the first time I realized, like, I'm a part of something. Like, I can see some stuff going on that I'm not down with. Like, as I said, I didn't change your name. And the parent at the end actually told me very thick, because she was pissed when she found out, like, thank you so much for actually doing that. But after that, I was like, what's happening with this? And I started to question it. Now, you can't question it with inside the school because, you know, the LGBTQ Inc., right? And that I separate that from gay Americans, right? No problem with gay, because LGBTQ Inc. is a left-wing, you know, political activist group. Okay, they have every right to do it, but it's a left-wing political activist group. Like, pretending it's not.
Children.
And you can't come after them, and you can't even question it because they'll just come after you. Transphobe, homophobe. Like, if you're a teacher and you're an administrator, you need your money, you're supporting your family. Like, are you going to come out and speak against this? No.
No, because you're afraid of your job, losing your, you know, your friends in your community, just being alienated.
It's a toxic atmosphere. They alienate
you, you know, just for saying such, voicing your opinion, which is the First Amendment right as an American Constitution. You get to have the freedom of speech and say what you feel and how you feel, what's on your mind. That's communication. They're not allowing people to communicate, which is suppression. It bottles up emotions in people, and then people just explode. And they say, oh, no, you're looking at you, you're violent, because you're not letting this guy, a conservative, tell you how he feels. They're not letting conservatives, you know, speak out.
And that's really what it comes down to. It's the conversation is not happening.
It's not.
And it's not coming from the right. It's not coming from, like, oh, it's homophobes. It's coming from the left. Like, we can't have a reasonable conversation. Like, as I said, if you read through the Facebook stuff, and again, I have no problem with what anybody says to me whenever. It's a free country. I'm an elected official. Say what you want. That doesn't bother me. But read that. Like, if you read that, you'll get nothing out of it. It's just emotional talkings, blah, 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 this. And that's not what I care about. Like, we need to have a conversation, societal, a community. As I said, don't go to the schools and start running after teachers, running after administration like they did it wrong. The school committee right now is working on budget and negotiations and then building maintenance and the consolidation effort they have. They're trying to keep the lights on. We shut down our schools. We shut down our country. And we think we can just turn it back on and everything's going to be okay. We've lost like close to 500 students already. Mm-hmm. Where the budget, where's the money coming from? Like you, again, our superintendent, the chair of the school committee, they're all working hard. They're working on the things to keep the lights on. So these issues, this is a societal issue. We're saying this is where we want to go forward. And now my whole campaign that I ran on was, you know, parents make the decisions. So if the parents of Braintree are like, yes, no, we want this, cool. That's your decision. I'm not going to be a part of it. And I'm going to fight for the opposite of it because I think the family is the backbone of this country and always has been. And if you're hiding that, the government's raising your kids now? How are we different from the Soviet Union at this point? Like, how are our school systems like that? Like, Justin, if you go to that, you know, the last slide there, take a look at this one, Donnie, right?
What's up?
So this is the 2019 data. Mm-hmm. From, you know, the high school population and the 2020 data. What do you notice about when they said, like, enrollment by gender?
Which one? Enrollment
so
by...
So you got 2020 here, and you got...
Enrollment by gender right here.
2019, right?
Yep.
And then 2020. What changed in that box there?
What changed in that box? Shoot.
What's new?
Oh, non-binary. What is that?
Did a new species come in 2020?
Did a new species come?
What does that mean? All of a sudden, all right, so there's male, female, and then all of a sudden there's, wait, a new species, non-binary? Wait, did an alien hit Earth?
And this is Braintree.
Where did that come from?
Non-binary enrollment.
So that's the thing is, like these people who are in charge of the education system are pushing this societal change through it, right? So I think it was Rahm Emanuel who said.
How do you talk to a non-binary person? How do you date one? You say, hey,
what's up? Rahm Emanuel said, never let a good crisis go to waste. And this is what they did. When they shut down the schools, the left instituted all these things they wanted, right? 2020, they instituted, oh, now there's a non-binary category. So now the schools have to have, oh, there's non-binary. What does that mean, non-binary?
What is it?
Like, again, I have no problem with trans people that identify as that. But are we just creating
your gender? But that's a lie. It's
like,
a lie.
We're going against biological reality at this point?
See, what that is, it's called softest rhetoric. You see, so what softest rhetoric is what, you know, the left's been doing for years, okay? So they create a lie, which is non-binary, okay? They just make up a word, non-binary, right? They use it. They tell the people it's a real word. Mm-hmm. It should be in a dictionary, right? And then they make the people believe it, and then they believe it. Yeah. So the lie is now a belief, and it's now believable. You know, the lie is real now. That's called softest rhetoric. This is what's being used across America, across our country. This is what globalists use, softest rhetoric.
Amen.
So start, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, again, I saw it from within the schools. You know, everyone goes to critical race theory, and that's there. I mean, we're teaching our kids.
No, we're not teaching critical race theory.
We're just teaching our kids to be racist.
They're teaching critical theory.
That's all it is. Yeah, it's critical theory in general. Critical theory. But you're teaching critical theories to kids that can't critical think yet. And I saw it. Like, I was a teacher. You were there. I knew how much power I had over these kids. I knew it. But I didn't use that against them. I used that to build them up, like to get the best out of themselves, give them a work ethic, tell them the world's going to be a good place, you can make it, and all these types of stuff. Like, right. As I said, even this student, where I'm supposed to be this transphobe, I don't like transgender, favorite student. You know what the last thing I said to her when she left was, I gave her the line, I was like, you know who Socrates is? She's like, oh, kind of heard of it, right? Socrates, obviously, probably one of the greatest fathers in Greek history, right? He was gay. Mm-hmm. Do you think of Socrates and think gay, or do you think Socrates is one of the best philosophers that ever lived?
Yeah. One of the best.
Yeah. It's your values that matter, right? If you love this country, we're down, right? When I put out a post earlier today, like God, family, country, you have any one of those values, those matter to you,
that's it.
We find common ground and we build. Because that's what we're doing. We're building. We need to hear people like that want to start fighting against it. And that's what, like, I think the Mass General podcast is going to do, is start leading people, being like, hey, we need to start fighting. We need to start getting office. You're running for Congress. We got to get you on the ballot. We got to beat Presley. Mm-hmm. We got Deal. You know, we interviewed him. We'll put something out again for him. We need him to win. We need people we don't even know of yet to be stepping up and running for Mass GOP, like Rayla Campbell, right? Secretary of State. Right. We need these people to start beating them, because the only way we're going to win this peacefully is at the ballot box. Because, it, as I said, I understand how to deal with the left. You treat them. You got to be mean. You got to be offensive, because there's no good faith argument ever with them. They hate you. Like, again, I'm on an insurrection index. Did I show you that?
Yes, you did.
You're on Matt Lynch.
That's a hit list.
Yeah, it's a hit list.
It's a hit list.
Right, it's a hit list. I'm the crazy one who's lost his mind. Like, I'm being put on lists. Like, who built lists, right? People that put out lists are not the good guys. Yet somehow this conversation has been they're the good guys, and it's not. We need to take them back.
Control the media, that's why.
Yeah. And that's why I think this podcast, again, this is our first one. Mm-hmm. Like, we've never podcast before. We're going to dominate it eventually. We'll figure out how to do it. I've never podcast, but we have to be able to get our message out and our point of view clearly to the people that want to listen. Because the people that hate us, that are going to come after us, like, the debate's over, right? Our country was attacked 2 years ago by a virus. Mm-hmm. And instead of us facing it with courage, our government attacked us, especially the schools. I was in the schools. I saw what they did. They, like, all these things, they're masks, scare the shit out of the kids, isolate them, all these problems. And I was like, why are we doing this? Like, we should be, like, a real society would have been like, no, adults, we'll take the virus, kids, you're fine, and move forward. But now, we chose the opposite way. And I'm not here to point fingers at who did that right now, but we have to deal with those problems that are going to be the fallout.
Well, when you bend, this is, you know, you learn this in the military, you never negotiate or play with, you know, the enemy, the ops. You never negotiate with the ops, you know? Mm-hmm. So when you negotiate with the ops, when you bend a little bit, they're just going to keep bending you, keep folding you. That's actually my biggest problem with
I would say, liberals. Again, I got no problem with liberals. They're good people, all that stuff. But they're, at their heart, they're appeasers, right? They're Neville Chamberlains. With the progressive left has taken over the Democratic Party. Anyone that's saying, like, oh, you know, a classical liberal from 50 years ago has any say in the Democratic Party right now, it's a lie. Like, look what we got on, like, the fraud squad in there. We got, what, Monica Karen and Grant, Mara Healey, Lizzie Warren, Michelle Wu, Ayanna Pressley. Like, these people don't care about anything except themselves. But the media loves them and tells them, we love each other. And people that are honest, like me and you, well, that's our biggest problem is we're honest. And people can't handle an honest punishment. We're supposed to be lying. We're supposed to put a suit on and lie and say, we're going to save the world. And we're going to make everyone have very happy in a diverse equity and inclusion world. And everything's great. That ain't it.
Diverse equity.
That ain't it.
But you got a mayor of Boston, Michelle Wu, says all her problems are white.
Yeah.
But she wasn't.
So I gotta go laugh at that. People are fine, because again, I'm free. Yeah. I'm a free speech absolutist. Let everyone say, like, she's basically letting her show Colin White. She's racist towards white people. I don't care about that. But I care what she did with the vax mandate. I care what she did to the Boston cops and the Boston firefighter, making them get. That's what a tyrant
does. Cops too.
That's what a tyrant does. And they cry like, oh, we have protesters out there. It's that repressive tolerance. Like, they get away with stuff that we can't get away with. And it's fine. We'll just create our own stuff. We're going to build our own entity, right? We start with our media here. Mm-hmm. We're going to call our shots too. Like, this thing right now, this grooming shit that is happening in the schools, I don't want to go that way.
I want traditional education. I want trade schools, mm-hmm. trade skills inside these schools. I want every kid to graduate high school with a trade skill. This is Massachusetts.
Yeah.
We have every trade here. Why can't our kids graduate with a trade skill and hit the union after?
And that's
after
what
graduation.
We got to replace with. And guess what? Like, I mean, I don't know what schools you worked at. Like, Brazier High School is legit. We got some good workers in there. We got a core function that can run that school in whatever way this town sees fit. Mm-hmm. The town right now is saying, run it this way. Like, that's what we're saying. Like, is this what people want? No. Let's get a school system where we can have these kids at 18 know how to, you know, be financial responsibility. If they want to join a trade school, they can join a trade school. If they want to go to college, they can go to college. If they want to, you know, go find and live on their own at 18, like, let's have a school that can do that. Let's teach crypto. Let's teach home ec. Cooking, all these, you know, things that were given to us when we were kids that the school system took away, I think deliberately. Now these kids are useless and they're going to be dependent on who?
The government. That's what they want. They want
government schools.
Dependent on the government. The government wants everyone. Government can't survive, you know, without the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it has to have a more, you know, disadvantaged people. They survive on disadvantaged people. So if they can disadvantage, like the kids, okay? Yeah. Study shows, right? Harvard did a study that showed kids that, you know, after they had the surgery, young, like when they're teens and stuff like that, they had the surgery young. By the time they hit their, like, 30s, right, mid-20s, they regret chopping off their pee-pee.
Yeah. And I
and so now they have mental issues. They have, like, you know, mental health issues, mm-hmm. you know? And that's all that's creating, more mental health
and the problems. Like, who are we? Like, as I said, we're the mass generals, right? We're leaders. Like, it's our responsibility as men to step up and say no. Doesn't matter what the pushback at is. Like, they're going to come after me. They're going to come after you. They're going to try to rip our lives apart because we're going at their core belief system. But their core belief system is harming children in the United States, mm-hmm. right? The trans suicide rate is like 50% higher than anything. Why is that happening? They'll blame people like me and you because we'll say that, hey, Leah Thomas is a dude who won that race. Like, sorry. They'll blame us even though we have nothing to do with it. It's literally the media and it's the Democratic Party that use these people and put all this pressure on them, and it starts in the school system.
And they lie and say that the trans kids' suicide rate is high because they're getting bullied. They're not getting bullied.
Oh.
They got bullied into chopping their pee-pee off, and they regret chopping their pee-pee off.
Exactly.
And they want to just off themselves.
Exactly.
You understand?
And to me, that's the problem. Because that's Americans committing suicide. Like, I love, like, because I'm America bullied by first. The government. Bullied by the government into this stuff. Like, they're the problem. But yet, somehow we aren't. How are we just going to let this keep going? If there's this rise in suicide rate, like, our country is in for a tough 5 years. For everyone. You know, we have 3 million people invade across our border. We have, 100,000 people die from fentanyl because the CCP is using the cartels to pump that through.
Oh, this is the gateway state, too, for heroin. Mm-hmm. HBO, Showtime did a special on it.
All that stuff.
You know?
Down the cave is big.
We should be way tougher on that.
Yeah, but we don't. Uh-huh. And then inflation is rising, right? The middle class is going to get destroyed. Families are going to start having problems. All these issues in our society are going to, you know, it's going to crash. But right now, we need to build a safety net so these kids have, you know, their childhood and it's not their problem. Because we put COVID on them. We did. People would say why we did it. And so, like, nobody wants to admit they're wrong anymore in this country. But we put COVID on kids. We shouldn't have done it. People were scared. And we're not going back to that. But we did. Like, we can't let that happen again. Like, we need people to step up and stop moving forward. And it happens politically. Like, I think I was reading the other day the John Adams quote outside. It's, you know, I must study war and politics so my sons can study, like, mathematics and philosophy. And then their sons can study, say, navigation, commerce, and on to poetry, right? It starts with the first generation that have to go through hell to give the next generations, you know, the blessings that kind of I had as a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, that's our generation. We need a new generation of warriors, leaders, to step up and take every issue on. Like, again, the progressive left doesn't like this country. They can say, like, oh, yeah. No, they don't. They fundamentally want to change it. Obama always talks about it. We need to fund it. We fundamentally change this country. Wow. Biden clearly doesn't even know where he is. Kamala slept her way to the top. Yet these people will still tell us we're the problem. Like, where do we have power inside? We don't. We're going to create it, though, right here, aren't we?
We're doing it now, brother.
We are doing it right now.
One day at a time.
And that's the part is we got to step up. Again, you're new to podcasting, aren't you?
I'm new. This is my first time.
Yeah, you know? Same with me. I mean,
we got to get the truth out there.
We're going to get it. But the thing is, we're going to create news and we're going to be able to get our message out, you know, straight to the people that want to fight. Because, you know, listeners out there, like, we need people to step up and fight, to step up and to start defending their country because nobody's coming to save us. And I wouldn't want it any other way. It's basically, I wouldn't want to be alive at any other moment in time than right now.
We need people to be unapologetically patriotic.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Oh, I understand.
Unapologetically patriotic.
I understand completely. Like, if you look at it, like, hundreds of years from now, they're going to look back, like, on COVID, and they'll say it's the end of the modern era. And beginning of postmodernism. So we're sitting in the foundation of postmodernism. That's awesome. We have the ability to do something that the world's never seen. We can change it for the better like it's never happened before. But right now, we're heading down a dark, dark, dark path.
I know, we got to get back to loving the country like this. Like, we can't love the country every 4 years for the Olympics. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't do it. And plus, the Olympians now don't even love the country. So we got to start,
Nike does that.
We got to start weeding them out, mm-hmm. right? We got to get with companies that love our country, like, thank God, Polo. You know, he still loves the country. Huh? You know, we got to start just giving kids...
Build that base,
we gotta
right?
We gotta give kids, like, you know, opportunity. We gotta let them, give them trade skills to work and make money out of high school. This is what's gonna help. When you got money in your pocket, you feel good.
I know, no kidding. You know? Like, and that's why, like,
so it doesn't feel good going down.
This Braintree project that, you know, I'm starting, and we'll get into it more because we gotta launch it. We're gonna have a launch party for it. Like, that's what we're gonna do. We're going to provide those mentorship for all those things to provide these kids that the schools right now can't provide.
Workshops.
Because it's a safety net. Like, our schools are in trouble. Like, our as I said, our school committee is working hard doing exactly the job they're supposed to do. Or I'm a part of that too. We're supposed to do. But that doesn't deal with, you know, the societal issues that are plaguing us. So we have to start kind of refocusing, like, where we're going as a country.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
But the thing is, though, it's like we have to turn around and start going backwards, right? We got to get back to the last fork in the road. We went too far left. Mm-hmm. We got to go back to that last fork and bang a right and start being like, hey, we're in this together. You know, our government's corrupt. We understand that. But, you know, the communities have to start building. We have to start getting on the kind of local level again. Mm-hmm. So...
It's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, me, I'm Army, so I don't want a batch to come and play. I'm a true conservative. Yeah. So whatever we got here, it's what it is. We're just going to have to, like, fix it.
But we have to fight, though.
We got to fight to come back to the center of the road. Mm-hmm. We got to make the moderate Democrats, where are you? We got to become more moderate, more JFK.
And like, the thing is, the moderate Democrats, you know, would rather yell. The moderate Democrats would rather yell at us for the way we... take on the left and ever take the left on themselves. Like, where do you see?
Police,
like,
your own buddies. Yeah. Police,
like,
your own guys.
No kidding. Like, in the part is, like, when, you know, everyone's like, oh, the Trump Republicans are taking over the Republican cab. Like, hell yeah, we are. That's a good thing.
Yes.
Because Trump showed... Because Trump showed us, hey, the Republican Party was not helping the people either. So, like, again, I it's funny because liberals really don't understand that. Like, you were right. The Republican Party was trash. It was Trump who told us that. Like, you got it right. Hey, Republican Party doesn't do anything. But now we're trying to fix our party from within, and they demon us because we're the populist movement. And they can't have it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the modern Dems have to start doing that too, so we can actually have this conversation. Like, as I said, this whole thing started because of transphobe, homophobe. Like, no, that's not the issue.
No, it's not.
But the left won't let us talk. They control speech. They control the narrative. And if you speak against it, they'll deplatform you. They'll take you from your job. And they'll take everything they have from you.
You're homophobic. I'm a racist. You can't
speak up. I'm a terrorist, too, an insurrectionist.
I can't say anything about Michelle Wu, you know?
I know.
I'm a racist, but she hates white people. She says white people are her problem.
But she won't have to apologize or anything like that. But they'll ask you for that, though.
Right.
But... You know, Donnie, this is our first podcast. You know, I hope the viewers, you know, take this in, and, you know, it's our message we're trying to get across. We're starting something new. We're starting at the ground level. This is the beginning of something really, really big, I hope, because we're gonna go on offense.
Yeah.
And somebody has to step up and do it. And I hope there's people listening that are like, hey, we want to be a part of the solution too. Come build with us. But, you know, we're gonna do it. You know, as a warrior way, right? We're the mass generals. We're leading. We're on a war footing right now.
Unapologetically.
Because our country...
Patriotic.
Our country isn't going to exist in 15, 20 years if we keep going this road and we just keep putting our heads down and saying someone else is going to fix it. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be us that step up. And Donnie, this is our first one. First of many, I hope, right?
Oh, you already know. First of many. We're going to keep it rolling, brother. We got to do this. We got to put out content, more content, every week. Oh. We're going to just keep
working. And that's the part. Is like,
getting the truth out to people.
This podcast is going to be local politics. We're going to put national events on. We're going to start putting some fights on, too. We talked about that.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a big one. I got some guys who... That's going to be big stuff that we do. But We got big things coming. So before we sign off today, guys, this is our first podcast. If you know, you're like, oh, what are those guys doing? It's our first one. We're going to hone in on our skills. You know, we have a big fight ahead of each other. Donnie, we need to get the signatures. We need to get him on the ballot.
Yes, I need signatures to get on the ballot. Please contact me. All social media platforms is DonniePlmr. On Twitter, it's Donnie, Donnie, P Council, CouncilO. Again, DonniePlmr. That's me on all social media platforms.
Perfect. You know? And I'm Matty Lynch. You can find me on Twitter at Braintree Lynch. Put out some information there. Thanks for joining us, guys. This is the Mass General Podcast, and we look forward to doing big things in the future.
Thank you.
Let's go!
Woo!